Shalom Aleichem and welcome back, Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Brutt. We've already done two episodes on Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Svarim. Baruch Hashem, the feedback's been tremendous, and that's why we're doing some more. I'm not here to waste people's times. Today, we would like to focus on the Sefer Nachal Eson, which was written about the Sugya of Egla Arufa. So before we begin, as certain people have the minhag to read emails, so one email that we got is from somebody in Eretz Yisrael who writes the following. Just finished your second video on the Svarim of Reb Chaim. Amazing. You are fun to watch and listen to. Anyone ever say you're fun, Reb Eliezer? Thank you. He mentions that he also says, keep up the great work. And he says, if your wife ever wonders what you do all day, just send her to me. So, okay, if your wife ever wonders, we have someone who to send her to make sure that you're behaving. Okay, so Reb Eliezer, how are you today? What do you want to start off with?
Baruch Hashem. Well, so, Mirtz Shem, let's start off right now with the Nachal Eson of Reb Chaim Kanievsky. So, as everyone by now, it comes up in most conversations about Reb Chaim Kanievsky, he wrote a sefer at some point about Egla Arufa. And some people are mayrich about it for a minute, others a little more. And bottom line is that they do say that it's an incredible sefer, and there's no question that it is one incredible sefer. Okay, now, today would like to speak a little bit about this sefer, some points about it. One could technically speak about the sefer forever, as we'll see, because Reb Chaim Kanievsky just goes on and on and on about Egla Arufa like nobody's business. Now, but first, before anything, there's earlier this year, a volume, which I hope to discuss a little bit more later on, between a series of correspondences that went over many years between Rav Dov Landau of Bnei Brak and Reb Chaim Kanievsky. They were very close. They also had letters in learning, and they were printed. And one of the letters, after the Nachal Eson comes out, Rav Dov Landau, one of the great Gedolim alive today, writes to him, your sefer is a sefer on Nifla, pliei pliois, hirchav rubai tairasai, marchiv in yanim, marchivi levavois, es levavi la'ayim behem. Bekitzer, he goes, I learned a lot of it, and I have some ha'aris, and he goes on, and now Rav Dov Landau also writes in general very bekitzer, similar to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, legendary writing bekitzer, but in these letters, it's a 33-page letter with ha'aris and ha'aris and ha'aris. He says, these are only some of the aris I have on the sefer. And then Reb Chaim Kanievsky answers him, at least some of the aris, and they're printed also over here. So we have already, at the time, in the 1970s, when the sefer actually comes out, a friend of his writing that it's an incredible, incredible sefer. Now, the sefer has been printed in a bunch of editions, which usually means that people have bought it. If people learn it or not, I have no idea. But it's a sefer that everyone always heard of, that there's a massive sefer on the sugya of Egla Arufa from Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Okay. Now, the shaila is, when did Reb Chaim Kanievsky write this sefer? So I mentioned already earlier that a lot of times Reb Chaim Kanievsky gives us dates when he does things. And he even, in his Hagdamas to the Sfarim, and sometimes at the conclusion of the sefer, will say something. And he also, a lot of times, gives us insight in why he writes a particular sefer, which is very useful because we don't have to guess. He says it straight out. Now, so in this sefer Nachal Eson, when we look at it, so first of all, he says again, Bialdusi, he decided to be mevar the sugya of Egla Arufa as much as possible. He realized there's not so much literature on the sugya. And he decided he's going to go through this topic. And he lists out a few reasons, which we'll discuss in a moment. He says that the first edition that I wrote on this, that I did not publish, was in Tuf Shin Tess. Okay? It's pretty far back. Tuf Shin Tess brings us to his early 20s when he's writing the Sefer. Okay. Now, that time, the Chazon Ish is alive and well, and he shows it to the Chazon Ish, and he spoke to him a lot about many of the issues in the Sefer. Not only that, throughout the Sefer, he brings tons of material from the Chazon Ish, I'm not talking about material of the Chazon Ish's writings, conversations he had with the Chazon Ish about topics relating to the Sefer. Then he says, I went through it again, And then he goes through it a third time, it seems, and eventually he prints it in the 70s, I believe it was. His father also went through the Sefer very carefully. His father wrote Haaretz, also was published. It's printed at least 6-7 editions. I'm not sure, but in many of the editions, he adds a few different Haaretz, material people sent in, about the actual Sefer. His father also seemed to have been very, very impressed with the Sefer. Okay, now, last time I've mentioned that that some of the people that had a tremendous influence on him was the Chazon Ish and was his father. And you see here we see that their materials are included in here and conversations with them are in here. And he stresses this already in the Sefer, like right away in the Gemara says, V'gam hayo lemar einai maran Chazon Ish. Now, Yaldusi, I don't know the exact age when Yaldusi means when he decided to do this, because even when you have the date Tufshin tests that he's that he did the Iker Ksiva, this is a crazy amount of literature that he went through in order to produce this work, as I will discuss shortly. So he obviously started this earlier, I mean, say in his teens he started. Now, it seems at some point in this Sefer, there's discussion about brachas. In brachas, there's all types of conversations in brachas and rishayim, what brachas do you make, and when do you make brachas? Certain mitzvahs, if you do, if you don't, and also a nusach bracha also comes up a lot. When do you make? You just say the mitzvah, or other times you add in the word shell. Let's say by Chanukah, lahadlik ner shel Chanukah, or is it lahadlik ner Chanukah? And this plays out in many, many mitzvahs. Okay, so this is a known conversation in halacha, which a lot has been written about. Somehow, in this sefer, Chaim Kanievsky has a kuntres. It was its own kuntres that originally was going to be put elsewhere, published elsewhere. This kuntres is it spans over, I would say, about 15 jam-packed pages of Mar Makaymus on this sugya, where he breaks down approximately 10 main shitas rishayim, and then he handles in all the different mitzvahs with them. There's hundreds of Mar Makaymus over here. One could get complete chalisha sadas when one reads this. This was done without a computer, way before computers were in the before Bar Ilan programs, like Zarah Chachma, Hebrew books, Google books. This is way before this. The fact that someone was able to open up this amount of svarim is mind-boggling. But it's not so much that he collected information. He puts it in. This shito is this. He sets it up very, very clearly. It seems he was going to write a sefer on Shiluach HaKain, or Shiluach HaKan, whatever, however you want to pronounce it. And he was going to put it there. In the end, I guess he decided to take that kuntres here. Now, what age did he write that kuntres? So it seems that he wrote this kuntres he finished writing this kuntres at the age of 14, which is rather remarkable. At least according to this book I've been quoting a few times already, Hasvarim, Anor Chaim Kanievsky Svarim, and it's unbelievably remarkable. If someone wants to get a glimpse of his Bikias and also Iyun at the same time, because of the so many things he just throws in parentheses, not with footnotes. Later on, he developed more clear way how to do this, by creating a form of a Shaare Tzion. But I guess in the Nachal Yisrael, he decided not to do it, so it's more confusing. But there's tons of information in these parentheses, small points going off on small little tangents. And this is written at a very young age. I'm sure that over the years he updated it until he printed it in the late 70s, but still it's beyond remarkable. And one doesn't have to learn the complicated sugyas of Egla Arufa. You could just have a glimpse of more easier topics over here in this chibur. This topic has been written about, as I mentioned already, in the Times of Yerushalayim. The Avodraham has pages on it. In the recent edition of the Avodraham from Rebellia Greenswag, there's tons of material in it on this topic, and Reuven Margolis in an interesting small sefer called Makara Bracha, he also wrote about it. Akoponim, we see Reb Chaim Kanievsky in a side topic that he put into this sefer already in full glory at a young age. Now, but why does he write the sefer? Why does he pick Egla Arufa? What was it that sparked his interest in Egla Arufa? So I said we just turned to the Hagama, and Reb Chaim Kanievsky spells it all out for us. The first thing that Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, he says that he brings a he says is that there's a Sefer Hasidim that First, he brings a Gemara in Saita, which is also relevant, but first he brings a Sefer Hasidim as his reason. And this Sefer Hasidim we have spoken about actually recently, this earlier this year, by learning Masechtas Ma'ariv Katam. Basically, the Sefer Hasidim talks about that there's certain Masechtas or Inyanim that become sort of like a Mace Mitzvah, and it's a great Zchus if someone goes ahead and learns them. And we discussed that great length of what different aspects of this Sefer Hasidim, but Ruchaim Kanievsky brings this Sefer Hasidim, and Egla Rufa, as I'm going to list out shortly, is one of these areas that there's not so much spoken about. Actually, you could say right now, or I don't have to wait. Basically, Egla Rufa. So to begin, Egla Rufa becomes in. We find it. There's a few psukim at the end of Parsha Shoftim. Basically, we find a dead body in a field. So what happens with it? And we don't know who is the person who's killed over here. And there's all different details in literally nine psukim about in English translated, the unsolved murder. And then the Zakenim have to come down and they measure from the body and they figure out all different details. Now, there's a sugya in Saita, 2 blad approximately, maybe 2.5 blad about it. There's not even Taisis over there. It's just Rashi pretty much. And from there, Reb Chaim Kanievsky goes ahead and he writes a Sefer Nachal Eson. Now, how many pages is a Nachal Eson? So you'll say, Achleis, 10 pages, 20 pages. No, we're talking about, without getting into the additions, over 312 pages, without all the additions. And these pages are jam-packed. More recently, the later editions are smaller, but the original edition of Nachal Eson was a big, tall volume packed with material.
So how's it structured? What did he write it around? Is it on the Rambam?
So I'm gonna get to how he. So right now, let's good point. Let's discuss quickly what he did. Is he basically created a top part of halacha, which he calls the halachos of Egla Rufa. I'm gonna elaborate more how he breaks it down shortly. And then on the bottom, he has a running commentary to be mefarish all the halachos that he has on top. He calls them Svasa Nachal and Nachal Noivea. These are, okay, now, one could see, as you look on top over here, this is the words, and then over here, and all this is pages and pages of material, and I'm going to give some samples of things shortly. Now, but what's significant is he took something. There's a sugya in Shas. It's not like there was no sugya in Shas, but if one learns the sugya of Egla Rufa, we'll find, yes, so today there are some achronim on Saita. It's not a masechta learned so much in Yeshiva Shemasechtas, but Yoimi learns it, and there was svarim written about it before, very nice svarim on the masechta itself, and there are discussions in the achronim. And I'm going to show shortly what it is that Ruchaim Kanievsky was doing and what was a little bit more to try to give a theory what was behind what he was doing about this. Anyway, but the first Nekuda that Chaim Kanievsky mentions, and his reason is he's pointing to this Sefer Hasidim, which we already were mayrich about before, so I have Rachmanis and we don't have to chazer it over. Now, the second point, which is a theme that Chaim Kanievsky mentions time and time again in various svarim of his, is a Chafetz Chaim in a small Sefer called Maimer Torah Ar, which I also spoke about in a different time about learning Kachim in general. By Yuma, by Dafyomi was learning Yuma, that Chavetz Chaim was famous for making a mapecha to try to get the Olam, he was a Kayin and various other things, to get the Olam to learn Kachim. And in this Chibur, which was this small little work, it found the Kol Kisei Chavetz Chaim, he discusses the great tzchusim of learning Kachim. And one of the aspects that he brings up is that when one, that there's certain mitzvahs that now we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we're not able to be mekayim these mitzvahs. So there's a special inyan to learn these mitzvahs, because through learning these mitzvahs, it's ki'ilu yemekayim them. The Chafetz Chaim brings this down from various mekayrus. Reb Chaim Kanievsky was very into this, and this is a theme which is found in a few other svarim of his. He brings this Chafetz Chaim piece for why he's going into said noisim. Perhaps we'll get to some of them eventually, maybe even today. But in his Sefer Arches Yaisher, which is mostly a Musar Sefer, which also needs its own discussion, but he has a chapter called Simcha Shel Mitzvah, and here too, in the chapter, he brings down the the material about this with the Chafetz Chaim again, showing that there's early sources, and he also adds a different pran over here, which is that there was a big inyan in general. There's certain mitzvahs that don't come too easily. So he shows a face with the Gra, his father, other people, that there were certain mitzvahs that if they come your way, one should go out of the way, one should make sure, so to speak, to try to do them. One of them was, he says, his father was able to be Mekayim Reishis Hagez, Pinyin Petach Hamar. There's a few videos on the internet of different Gedolim doing it. There was even a Sefer on Pinyin Petach Hamar, these unique mitzvahs, and when it comes that we're able to do it, to run and do it. So he's using this after he brings, he says, the Chazon Ish has such a point that one, Shekol Mitzvah Chayiv Kolim Al Kolpanim Pam Achas B'Chayiv L'Kaimoy. There's such a concept. There's many other sources for such a thing, but he also was into this, Nakuda, and interestingly enough, in his Sefer HaSvarim, he has lists of, they printed some of them in Ksaviyat, of his, some mitzvahs that he had, like Mamish, like a small page, where he had what to do for these mitzvahs. Which is very interesting, you know, that he didn't just like, so he was learning everything, trying to keep in mind when it would come up, Matnas Kuna, Reish Sagez, Petach Hamar, like a small handbook for himself. I don't know if he ever planned on printing it, of Pashut, how to do it halacha l'maisa, not which Tiklach Torah, maybe it seems some of these mitzvahs he was going to write about them also, small chidurim, but he wasn't able to, for various reasons, I guess lack of time or whatever. But this yisoid that I'm saying from the Chafetz Chaim, which he brings over here for this sefer, was also, since Egla Rufa is something that is not common to be able to mekayim, especially today, for sure not. So that also was another push for him to write about this mitzvah. And as I said, it seems to be a theme of him, of his, in other svarim also. Now, there's another nekuda, which is also a nekuda of his in general, and this nekuda is that Kol HaTorah Kula is has relation with each other. He likes to use a beautiful Yerushalmi Torah, Aniyim B'Makom Echad, Vashirim B'Makom Acher, which is a key point. That one, which one sees it in by him especially, how all of Torah could end up relating and becoming a piece of information, one thing that seems to not have anything to do with it, could play out in a completely different sugya. Here too, again, there's a famous Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, in his Ruach Chaim, there's a famous piece where he talks about Hafech Ba'Hafech the Kulispa, and he says, specifically says, when one's learning Masechet Sukkah, within Sukkah, Yechayim Lahaitzi Lahatir Aguna Uchedoyma, that somehow from the learning of the Sugya, Masechet Sukkah, you could come up with a way how to be Matir Aguna. So now, when one learns this piece of this Chaim Volozhiner, you could think, and maybe that it means is that, yeah, you might take it to mean, you know, that you get the understanding of learning and your mind gets sharper and stuff like that. And that's the justification sometimes people say to learn different things, but it's not true at all. It seems is, and someone asked Reb Chaim Kanevsky specifically, what's shot in this piece of Reb Chaim Volozhiner? He shtel to a Gemara in Baba Basra. That's specifically a case from there. It will come out that it would be mamish. Reb Chaim Kanevsky's mamish meduyik, and Aguna Shaila could be learned from a piece of a sugya in Masechta Sukkah. Take again here. We have Reb Chaim Kanevsky's Bakiyus answering it up. But the point is that Reb Chaim Kanevsky uses this Yerushalmi in various form of his, that all of Torah plays out for everything. So it's not, and what I hope to elaborate about this shortly, is it's not just about, okay, there's Egla Rufa, there's a Sugya and Saita, and that's it, and that's all he's going to talk about. It's 300 pages. The Gemara, as I said already, there's not even Taisus over there. So how does a man come up with and write a Chibur of 300 plus pages? So, and that's what I'm going to get to shortly. Akoponim, these three reasons, Reb Chaim Kanievsky writes, are the reasons why he's putting out this sefer. Okay.
Okay, beautiful. So just before you continue, can you just summarize the three reasons? One, two, three?
Okay, so the first reason, to summarize the reasons over here, is one reason based on the Sefer Hasidim, that there's an inyan to learn Masechtos that or Noisim even, that are not learned. And this seems to be a theme of Reb Chaim Kanievsky and other sugyas as well. The second thing is that mitzvahs, there's an inyan based on Chafetz Chaim, Chazon Ish, and many other Makairis, there's an inyan of mitzvahs that one cannot do today, either because the Beis HaMikdash, such as Karbonis, or other mitzvahs that don't come by. How is one mekayim the mitzvah? By learning them. The third is that all of Torah relates to each other, and learning Egla Rufa could help in Eidos, and in all other sugyas. So it's not just that Egla Rufa is just Egla Rufa. It can help Mamash and Kol Torah Kula, as Reb Chaim Kanievsky definitely demonstrates quite well in this sefer.
Okay, gewaldig, beautiful.
Okay, so this is the Hagdama of what Reb Chaim Kanievsky is writing, why he writes the sefer.
Okay, so now you take us into the sefer itself. We're opening the pages.
Right, so like this, when I began the first one of the series, I said like this, that my ha'ara is that Reb Chaim Kanievsky was influenced by different people, such as the Chasson Ish, his father the Stipler, the Vilna Gaon, the Mishnah Berurah. Now, as I said already, he's quoting you a concept from the Chafetz Chaim, which he quotes in many of his Svarim. And he mentions already in this Hagdama that he spoke a lot with his father, and he says, I also spoke a lot with the Chazon Ish, and he brings you a lot of material from these people. But looking deeper into this, and also, obviously, there could be ties to the Gra also with this Yerushalmi, which eventually maybe I'll elaborate on a different time, but like this. I'm looking at the Sefer, and I see a Sefer, I start learning through the Sefer. And as I said, Egla Rufa barely has any material, so someone says, how do you create material? So I started thinking about this, and all of a sudden it hit me that as I'm learning the Sefer, I see that there are influences, I would say, strong influences on the Chibur, the famous yeshiva classic work, not only in the yeshiva world, but in the world at large, the Minchas Chinuch. And so first I would like to give some background, as I've done in the past, a little bit about the Minchas Chinuch. What was the strengths of the Minchas Chinuch? It has many strengths, and obviously we cannot discuss all aspects of it today. But that was a sort of a model. The Reb Chaim Kanievsky used that sefer for a model in creating this sefer Nachal Esom, with keeping in mind his points in the introduction. So the Minchas Chinuch is born in the early 1800s. He dies in 1874, and he's a rav in a chash of a city. And from what we know about him, he's not really so active as a rav. What that means is we don't have too many tshuvas of his. He doesn't answer so many shailas, even though it was a big city. He has a few talmidim, and he's sitting and learning yayman v'layla. Okay. And as I said, not so much in his lifetime printed of his. He's not involved with tshuvas. He doesn't really get involved with controversies. And then what happens? In 1869, mamish, a few years before he dies, a work comes out called Minchas Chinuch. And it doesn't even say his name on it, which is fascinating because it ends up being that this sefer, which creates, I guess you could say, a mapecha in the yeshiva world and the world that, when I mean the yeshiva world over here, I'm not specifically, but it also includes the Litvish yeshiva world, but it means the world literally everywhere. This sefer took the world, whether it's Chassidim, Svaradim, everyone was just blown away by this work. So he prints this sefer. It's 1869. And it doesn't even have his name on it. So he's not even getting any cover for it. Okay. Who prints it? A chash of a Talmud of his, also a great guy in a Dayan, Reb Reuven Rappaport, also a fascinating person, but not the time and place to talk about him. Now, why does he print the sefer? So interestingly enough, we again, without getting into barichos, some various interesting theories, but it seems that he wasn't even so into this chibur himself, and it seems that his real material that he had in other noisim was stolen at the time around, and it says in Hagdama, he worked, so it's not, so this stuff also shouldn't get, ki b'yamim ha'elu nignav me'iti kovetz gadol chidushim ala Torah v'ala Shulchan Aruch v'ad heina loy huchsar avidasi alkei nisratzi litin sefer leveis ha'tfus. It was recommended for him to print this sefer. So he goes ahead and prints this sefer. I remember once seeing, it could be it says it in somewhere in the Hagdama, but I remember once seeing he looked at it as a small little contrast that he has on the Sefer HaChinuch. I think I heard once that he's a brother-in-law in one of his marriages with Reb Chaim Sanzer. And I think I heard a Nusach or read a Nusach somewhere at one point that they asked him after his stuff was stolen. And so they said to him, "Does anything left?" He says, "Yeah, I have a small little chibur on the chinuch called Minchas Chinuch." He says, "Print it, and you don't understand what's going to happen with it." Okay, and taka the bracha of Reb Chaim Sanzer, which Kiyodua was very, very chashuv in the world at large at the time, was Mekoyim, and that this sefer became a bestseller. But I don't know if it has anything to do with that particular thing. It just took off because it was something beyond unique, and everyone picked up on this. And what we have over here is it wasn't even a famous person. No, he was a Rav of a city, but he didn't even though he was a Rav of a Chash of a city, he didn't even write his name. Okay. Interestingly, for example, the Duke Seifrim writes in his Ha'aris on Hashem HaGdoilim that he was talking about the Sefer Chinuch. He says, yeah, he saw a Chash of a Chibur and Ksav Yad on the Chinuch from... he says it's called the Minchas Chinuch, and it's from Rabbi Yosef Babad, the Av Bezim Tarnipon. So he saw it already in manuscript. I guess at that time when he saw it or knew about it, he knew that who the author was, but it's not clear if everyone knew who the author was later on. Okay, now, the Aderes, in his incredible autobiography, writes at one point, right when it came out, he got a copy of it. And later on, he decided, at one point he was sitting and he just had the Sefer Minchas Chinuch, and he wrote a lot of chedushim on these type of inyanim. Bechlal, the Aderes was also into these type of things. And he wrote a Sefer called Cheshbonos Shel Mitzvah, which was a manuscript for years. Baruch Hashem, in our generation, about 10 years ago or so, the Sefer came out. Incredible work on the Chinuch also. But he says, interestingly enough, it's a shame, I could have also written a Sefer with even more Bekiyas. But he says, Avoinaisai Garmuli, and he was not Zaycha to this. He was saying about himself, whereas Minchas Chinuch, where funny is, the Minchas Chinuch didn't even look at the Sefer as being his main thing. Imagine what we really lost and what these stolen Ksavim, or whatever the reasons behind the stolen Ksavim, whatever happened. But okay, we were Zaycha to the Minchas Chinuch. I'll call Panim. Someone describes at that time when the Sefer came to Valozhin, it was Ramesha Shmukler, describes how everyone was running to see it. Everyone was talking about it. It was a safer to see, a safer to look at. Okay. In recent years, one other point that in the Yeshiva Welt, they like to say, was always constantly on Reb Chaim's table. And Reb Chaim was into it. He quoted it. I think he quotes it even in Reb Chaim al Rambam, and he never quotes any Achrayim. I once made a joke that I want to write an article about all the different Svarim that are on Reb Chaim's table, because it might have been a very big table. But that's a cynical comment about it, because this Sefer was not cynical. This Sefer definitely deserved to be on the table.
Just to clarify, Reb Chaim, now you mean Reb Chaim Brisker.
Correct, Reb Chaim Brisker. Because Reb Chaim Kanievsky's table, it would be forever, as we'll see, I already mentioned a little bit, but I mean Reb Chaim Brisker. Yeah, Reb Chaim Soloveitcher. Yes, correct. Sorry for not being clear. Anyway, the Minchas Chinuch is this sefer that causes a mapecha in the world at large. Everyone's talking about it. It's updated shortly afterwards with different ha'aras, ha'safas. Okay. Anyway, so this sefer Minchas Chinuch had his one cute thing about the sefer is that it had a lot of Rashi Tevis. This Rashi Tevis made it for some people very hard to decipher the words. What are you saying? The way they say it is because there was a limited funding in those days. It's not only this sefer, but in other sfarim also, Rashi Tevis was to save money. But I've heard of numerous times from different old-time rabbeim or rabbanim from way, way back. As I said, a part of the galus was not if you could understand Minchas Chinuch. That was maybe even easier. It was if you could understand the Rashi Tevis of the Minchas Chinuch. Now, comes along in our generation, Machon Yerushalayim, and one of the most incredible works that they ever did, that they got their crazy fame from it, I would even say, is they decided to open up all the Rashi Tevis, make a beautiful edition, a completely user-friendly edition of Minchas Chinuch, and since then it's sold thousands and thousands of copies all over the world. When I was a bacher, this was the a famous bar mitzvah present. I have no idea if people give it today even, but everyone has it, everyone learns it, and for sure by the fact that even though the Minchas Chinuch was printed numerous times until Machon Yerushalayim came around, and we have hundreds of different Gedolim that wrote Ha'aris about, and they were collected in different Svarim, and there was even a whole Chibur written on Minchas Chinuch, but the point is that Machon Yerushalayim did something incredible with what they did.
I may sound ignorant with this question. Was the Minchas Chinuch Dafka had to have been written on the Chinuch itself? Because it seems like most of it is not even Chinuch related.
Oh, so that is it's actually not Amratz's question. It's an excellent question. I'm going to touch on it for a second any minute, but it's not Amratz's question at all. Now, Reb Chaim Kanievsky even also was very into the Minchas Chinuch. There's an edition of it that was printed with his Ha'aris. It seems he was planning on writing a whole Sefer on it even, but it never happened for whatever reason. Bekitzer, so there's many editions of the Sefer, as I said, and I even though I would normally not do such a thing, but just this happened literally less than 24 hours ago, a good friend of mine, who's actually a descendant of the Minchas Chinuch, him and his father for more than 10 years were learning the Sefer Minchas Chinuch, the Iyun, and they had an idea, which was, up till now, was available for the people that read Hebrew well, so to bring it to the English audience, and they did a few years ago, they put out a small work on Mila. This is the Hudners. I don't have copies. It's only available in America, so I can't show copies, but literally less than 24 hours, copies arrived in America. This is Rabbi Moshe Hubner and his father. They worked on this work, and it's in English for Pesach specifically. They did some of the mitzvahs of Pesach. It's a few hundred pages from some sample pages that I've seen. It looks beautiful. And what the significance is, it's now available for English audience. They didn't just translate the Minchas Chinuch. It gets lost in translation. They give you the whole background, as I'm about to say. Well, and one will be able to understand a little bit what they're trying to do. Akopanim. The point is, the Sefer is something unique. So now that I said it's unique, I'm darshaning about what's unique. But what's unique about it, and what does that have to do with Reb Chaim Kanievsky? Correct. This is a very valid question. So one last source about this and is as follows. Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yashar Ber Soloveitchik from Yeshiva University, in a famous essay/book eventually called Halachic Man, in Ha'ara, he talks about various achronim that were isik in Kachem. So he talks about the success of the halachic work, Minchas Chinuch, published in 1869 and reprinted many times, he says is, in large measure, owing to the fact that the author did not limit himself to discussing family and civil law, the Hainu Nashim and Azikin issues, but concerned himself with all the commandments of the Torah. On the contrary, the author only touched briefly on matters of civil law, but he discussed at length those laws that were operative only when the temple was still standing. I mean to say, what helped Minchas Chinuch was that he wasn't only working with Nashim Nezikin. He wrote a chibur, which is Negei Kol Tariku. So he asked, it's called Minchas Chinuch. What does that have to do with anything? So the answer is that there's an earlier work, a Rishon, called the Chinuch. The Chinuch, which deserves its own series of conversations about, but the Chinuch was an incredible work. We don't know as much as a lot of ink has been spilled to figure out who the author is. There's no agreement at the end of the day who wrote the work, but it's an incredible, incredible work. Came along the Minchas, Rav Yosef Abad, and he attaches to this chibur his sefer Minchas Chinuch. Now, what the Chinuch did is he writes the mitzvah. He collects the 613 mitzvahs, going with the Rambam, sometimes not, bringing you many different things about the mitzvah. He breaks it down into Sharashim, Tamim. Sometimes you can have a page about a mitzvah, sometimes you can have a few pages of the mitzvah, and a lot of times he'll throw you into Gemaras. Sometimes he'll have a Chiddush, but not as well known. There's a lot of Chiddushim and Halacha in here. And it's an incredible, incredible work, the Chinuch. And so the Minchas Chinuch, Rabbi Yosef Abad, he attached to this a sefer where he had a sefer that's on the Taryag mitzvahs, and he wrote a chibur on it. Now, how much is he mefarish, and is that his concern? It seems, again, this requires a lot of iyun, it seems that it's not so much dependent, and he's not calling it even, that he's writing a pirish on the chinuch, but he wanted to attach it to the chinuch, and it could be, there'll be a drop of explanation why it works out shortly. But bottom line is that he took the Sefer Chinuch, which is on the mitzvahs, and he wrote this massive work. Today in the Mechon Yerushalayim edition, because now, as I said, they opened up the Rosh HaTevis and they broke paragraphs and they made it much more user-friendly than original. It's three massive volumes. They're actually working on a set that has 7-8 volumes already, something like that, which is Ha'aris and Ha'aris of all the different raid and Ha'aris of Gedolim on the Minchas Chinuch. Now, to get to the point over here, sorry, on a tangent, on a tangent, on a tangent, what does it have to do with Reb Chaim Kanievsky? So the answer is like this. When you learn Egla Arufa, as I said, there's virtually almost nothing. There's two blot without a Taisus. Interesting, who is one of the first people that sort of makes an asik from Egla Arufa is the Minchas Chinuch. He takes this mitzvah and he turns it, and he has 25 different issues in his Minchas Chinuch type style, as Reb Soloveitchik said. And he does this to many other mitzvahs, but not only, he doesn't limit himself just to Egla Arufa. He has 25 beautiful pieces related. I only know 25 because I could just easily open up my Mechon Yerushalayim Minchas Chinuch and I see this. And basically, he's Meirich on these pratim. Even Mashal, Rabbi Yerucham Fischer Perlau, who's also legendary, being Isaac and Mitzvahs and having Arichas Nifla on different sugyas, Egla Rufa by him is very small. So you have both the Minchas Chinuch. Rabbi Yerucham Fischer Perlau also quoted a lot by Rechaim Knievsky. And more interesting, these are the two, I would say, the two people that have some material on Egla Rufa besides the Achrayim, comes along Rechaim Knievsky, and he goes and he literally learns everything. He tracks down everything, and he mamish. He takes every single prat of the sugya of Egel Arufa that possibly could, and he breaks it down more and more and more. And this is something the Minchas Chinuch was one of the first that does such a thing. I said he did 25 issues. So Chaim Knievsky takes that and does this into hundreds and hundreds. So the difference is Minchas Chinuch did this for all Tariq mitzvahs. Chaim Knievsky only did it on one mitzvah. As a matter of fact, I've been trying to think of another example of someone who took such an obscure mitzvah and turned it into this. You say there are, especially today, legendary on every topic under the sun. There's not one sefer, there's already whole shelves of things, but a lot of times at least it has a sugya to start with. So here, I agree, Egla Rufa is a Gemara, it's psukim, but still, when you tell someone you pull off a sefer on Egla Rufa, it sounds like, how does one even do that? And yes, what would be one of the first addresses? You open up your Minchas Chinuch. And Minchas Chinuch has 25 pieces. So here, Chaim Knievsky goes, I'll pee the similar ideas with the Minchas Chinuch, which, going back to the Chinuch, what the Chinuch always ends off is, who's in Negea? Is it, where is in Negea? He likes to throw in if it's a mitzvah b'zman hazeh, if it's Negea for women or not. So the Minchas Chinuch, legendary, what makes the Minchas Chinuch so unique? What turned it into being this incredible sefer? So again, I am not attempting to touch on this, and I'm sure so many different people have different valid points about it. Interestingly enough, recently a full doctorate turned into a book was written on the Minchas Chinuch by a lady in Eretz Yisrael. Very, very useful material. And here, just to show a picture, sometimes people don't like to see a picture, how the book looks here. And this book deals with a lot of the aspects of the lamdas of the Minchas Chinuch and breaking it down. She talks about with the Chinuch also.
We also have to mention Reb Schlesinger's sefer on the Minchas Chinuch.
Correct. Reb Schlesinger, I'm always upset. I wish that they could finish it. It's just one incredible work on the few mitzvahs that he did. I still remember my great simcha when I found it in some store. I thought you couldn't even get it. I found it a bunch of years ago, and I always feel bad that it's not finished. But, and there's so much on Minchas Chinuch. That, as I said, we could speak about it for hours, and I'm sure people have a lot to say about it. But one nekuda is, and this is that the Minchas Chinuch, who also, he breaks down a mitzvah and takes a sugya, and he's breaking it down into so many different aspects and asking so many different questions to that sometimes questions that you might have. And he will be one of the only addresses that talk about it because he took it as a mitzvah. And then to mamish, like legendary in Lamates Malachas, he has a huge kuntris, which is also a small little thing in his eyes. But in the yeshiva world, when you learn Lamates Malachas, it's the starting point of many different chakiras, different shailas, his way of breaking down these chakiras. And he's nothing to do with Reb Chaim. The lumdus in there, people love it. It's so enjoyable. It's written very geschmack. And he brings rayas and kalachayan. He'll bring a raya from a gemara, different places. And then what's also famous, and I think this, in order to illustrate a lot of times his chakiras and his different questions, he used a whole new literature. He used Andraigonus and the Chatzia v'Chatzia ben Chayrin to an extreme and all these different things. And it became even famous. The Minchas Chinuch creator, I forget which great gadol, called it a whole new family of people that we talk about. And it wasn't because he just was trying to fill a paper. It was because the best way to illustrate alumnus is when you give nafgaminus and you show a gemara, but then you show what will be how to illustrate a certain nafgamina, because sometimes it could be very fine, the differences, they don't understand it. So if you use examples, then it could bring out a lot of times the great machlekas that's really happening in front of your face, and you don't see it between various rishayim or more. So the Minchas Chinuch did this on a very large scale, comes on Reb Chaim Knievsky, and he basically took the idea of the Minchas Chinuch for Taryag mitzvahs, and he said, I'm going to do it for one mitzvah, Egla Rufa. And he handles with dozens of pieces start with Minchas Chinuchs, and he just runs with it. And when you start looking at it, you your mind could spin. I'm just going to give one example because when I looked at this, I first couldn't understand what was going on. I'm like, what's happening over here? So at one point, he has a kuntris, and this kuntris, he's talking about if who could be an aid, somehow it relates in the sugya of being of an aid. If an aid echa comes and says he saw the person getting killed, whatever, it's okay. So he begins, he says, aid echad kasher, amar ra'isiyas ahayrig, va kasher achav amar imach ha'isi, v'lai ra'isi arfim. And he has a few lines where he talks about various aspects of Edus, which is complicated areas in Shas. And then he says like this. So he goes and he has the next 20, one second, or something like 30 pages, where he has this broken down to in 81 scenarios of different ways of Edus that could be accepted. Kasher nega kasher, kasher nega psul, kasher nega beis ksherim. And he, when you look at this, and he has for each one, sometimes a paragraph, sometimes a page with the relevant sugyas. You're looking at this, how he basically put in areas of Edus, stepping it into here, but thinking about it, like breaking down, like Minchasil type thing, but to an extent like no one ever imagined to be able to do. Okay, anyway, but when you go back to the, when you open up the Shar of the Sefer, after the Hagdama, the Mafteches, so he breaks it down into 17 parts, and when is the dinoyig, the dinim tzachalal, ali zachalal, who dinoy de mihakeu, how do you measure it? Is a ear, and every single one. You look at the simanim and the teichin yanim is a very mafuratik teichin yanim. You're like, holy cow! How does someone take a topic and just break it down into more parts and more parts? It's incredible.
I'm sure if it's not done yet on some svarim, maybe you know someone's gonna go through these svarim and just like make some kind of mafteach like they have on Gus Moshe and like on Mishnah Brura. All the different types of subjects that are discussed in Nachal Eson, you have them talking about Eidos and you have them talking about Brachis, like you mentioned before.
Right. So first of all, Chaim Knievsky realized that it needs a maftech, and someone went ahead in his lifetime, and Chaim Knievsky was very appreciative, and he made some type of maftech. However, I believe that, especially today with Chaim Knievsky from then until today, probably someone's going to come up and make a more fancier Nachal Eson and make it more user. It needs to be even more user. It's not user-friendly enough. You really have to learn the sugya. The Rashi Tevis are also issues sometimes, but he literally, I mean, he creates whole topics, new areas, and you see this from what I'm saying with the Hagdama. He literally, one of the Nakudas I brought down in the Hagdama, where he literally takes Kala Tarakula Tayani Makamecha Rashi Makamacher, he plugs it back in, he out Minchas Chinuch, the Minchas Chinuch, so to speak. And that to me is what's mind-boggling when you're learning it. I did not learn the whole sefer. I went through various parts, and you're just looking at it, and you're like, how does he get to here? It's unbelievable. Now, just to be Messiah, a few last parts over here, if the time is late. Basically, as I said, he just brings down everyone. So one person that I found interesting, and a lot of times when you go through a sefer, you could see different things that people claim are not so. It's not so poshut, or they're not so true. Now, his general mahalach in learning that comes out from this sefer, I hope to deal with more when I deal with the Mirtz Hashem, the Chibur Derech Emunah. So I'm not trying to talk about everything right now, Kol Terekula Regel Achas, although Chaim Knievsky does Kol Terekula into Egla Rufa, I'm not trying to do Kol Terekula into his Nachal Eson, but literally, let's say, looking around at one point, so there's a Dvar Avram that has a few simanim on the sugyas of Egla Rufa. Chaim Knievsky brings down every single piece from it in the relevant places, and he handles them. Lamashal, interestingly enough, the Aruch HaShulchan, so everyone, the Aruch HaShulchan is famous for writing also a work called Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid, which he concerned himself with areas of halacha that today some of it actually is relevant because Zeran, but when he was writing Zeran wasn't so relevant, but it is Zeran, this Kachim, Meshundika work of the Aruch HaShulchan. What about Egla Rufa? So you live and learn. In Shulchan Aruch, Egla Rufa doesn't come up because it's not really Negev, but the Aruch HaShulchan put into his Chayshim Mishpat Egla Rufa. He has many simanim, Mamish at the end of Chayshim Mishpat, Chaim Knievsky talks about all the time, dozens of times, he's bringing down the Aruch HaShulchan, not in Aruch HaShulchan Asad, in Aruch HaShulchan. Now, so first of all, what's the chashivas of this? I always heard that the Bnei Brak, especially because of the Chazanish, they said that they're very mezalzel, they're very not into Aruch HaShulchan. Here I see a work literally quoting Aruch HaShulchan to say there. Now, he grad also stels to Aruch HaShulchan's in Yerdeya, Aruch HaShulchan's even Aruch Chaim, but that's beyond the point. Point is that Aruch HaShulchan was important enough for him, and as I said, Aruch HaShulchan was also one of these people, besides the Menchas Chinuch, and besides, let's say, the Devar Avram and Riuchah Fisher Perla, that they wrote things about Egla Rufa, but when you look at the Sefer, mind-boggling. Okay. Anyway, I already mentioned it. I even got questions about it. So his relationship with Reuven Margolis, here he quotes a Nefesh Chaya of Reuven Margolis. It's not such a commonly found thing, but even looking in the furious, there's millions of pictures of Reb Chaim Kamenetsky being sent and posted in different places. You could see in some of the pictures in his library, his well-used copies of Reuven Margolis' Chiburim on the Zayar, Sefer Bayer, Mamish. You could see them clearly in these pictures. Anyway, point is, he takes every sefer and he went through, and I have no idea how many svarim he opened up, but it's clear he opened up hundreds and hundreds of svarim, rishayim, achrayim, tshuva svarim, and somehow he put them in the right. It's organized. It's in the right place, and part of it's not just like he collected material and wrote like an encyclopedia. Here is this and this. He deals with everything. He processes information. He's making tons of cheshbonis. Now, the previous time before that also, we said that he has this incredible yada. He's using that here also somehow. And he's using, I said, Targumim and Sukkim and Tanakh that you think have no relevance. Somehow in a Targum over here could come up to be relevant. Yerushalmi over here, a Tesefta over there. Everything becomes relevant also. Again, back to that Hagdama where he says, Tayanim Makamacher, Rashim Makamacher. Svarim and Chumash, he opened up everything, whatever he was able to get access, which is very interesting. I don't know where he had access to all these Svarim. I was always a very big fan of the Pardes Yosef, unbelievable Chassidish Sefer, but it's an encyclopedia, Al Torah. He quotes it a bunch of times. He sat and opened up everything, and when one sees this Sefer, you're exposed, and it's available on Hebrew books, and I feel it's very kedai, even if someone can't learn the Sigus of Egla Arufa with Zaita and everything, what they should do is, they should even learn the small Chibur of his Ambrachas, spend a half hour, an hour, just to see. People are always like, how do you put in words of Chaim Kamenetsky? Just open up the Sefer. You open up, and I'll make it even easier. Let me tell you what page numbers, so you have less, one will have less of an excuse. Hold on. It starts, if you open it up, on page Ayin Vav and onward, about 20 pages, you open up the Sefer, read it, just even read a few pages, and you could start seeing how he's organizing masses of amount of information and handling with them, discussing with them. This Sefer is packed with lumdas, packed with conversations that, as I said, with the Chazon Ish and the Stipler. Akoparim, here we see...
No, you're saying about brachas. So, right before Pesach now, we're about to embark on Yontif with so many different brachas. The Leila Seder, how many brachas they have.
Right?
I'm assuming I would take a look. I'm sure with a lot of these brachas I've discussed.
Yeah, definitely. And it comes up every day. Brachas is a very negative thing, but it's just interesting to see. Brachas HaMitzvahs, one could see it. A lot of times, you hear a Hespen and they say about a person, oh, he's a guy and he knows something. Okay, Shkayach. Let me read something to see it. And when you see it, you're understanding this is written before the computers, that he had to pull off the shelf hundreds of svarim, process the information. It's Mashunadit. And as I said, why he chose this and what influenced him, I believe it had something to do with the Michas Chinuch, besides all the other influences on him.
Okay, that's a wrap.
Akoparim, that's all for today. A wrap for today.
Okay, thank you very much. Although we mentioned we want to do other svarim, we're going to have to get back to those. Thank you very much, Rabbi Brat, and we look forward to some more. So this, I think, is excellent before Pesach, like you mentioned. There's so much to take out and process, and what a beautiful digression into the Michas Chinuch. So thank you very much.